Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. This week's episode features a couple from Texas who have been full-time RVing since 2018. Today's episode is sponsored by Work Camper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original source for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and peruse resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, a diamond or platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. Dan and Patty Harrison had a sticks and bricks home in Texas, which they sold in 2018 in order to enjoy a life of full-time travel and work camping. This winter, they are in Yuma, Arizona, work camping at a very large 1,300-site campground, where they are cleaning campsites after people check out and preparing them for the next guests. The Harrisons adopted a routine where they find a work camping job for 3 months, then travel around for a few months doing what they call touristy stuff, then head off to find a different job somewhere else. Until this winter, the longest time they've been on one job has been 5 months. They started dreaming about a life of full-time RV travel about 20 years ago and had originally envisioned becoming medical travelers. Don was a surgical technician and Patty was a nurse. However, when that plan didn't work out as they'd hoped, they opted to buy a bed and breakfast inn instead. While visiting their kids in Dallas one weekend, they went to an RV show to check things out. It was there that the Harrisons realized they had what it took to jump into the RV lifestyle, but they needed a bit more information to make it a reality. Within a few months, they settled on an RV and hit the road, but they also wanted a greater sense of purpose. So Dan and Patty started looking for things to do to help others in some way. That's when they discovered work camping is an ideal way to blend tourism with jobs to keep them busy and active. Now they plan their schedules by selecting a route to see various sites and looking for work camping jobs in those areas to spend more time really enjoying the region. Ideally, they like to spend about 3 months in one place. However, thanks to COVID, their plans were changed and they wound up spending more time in Arizona than they had originally planned. So to tell us more about their life on the road, please welcome Dan and Patty Harrison to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Patty and Dan. I really appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from and where you are right now.
Well, we have been on the road full-time since 2018. Left our last home, brick and mortar home, in Frisco, Texas, and have traveled kind of the middle of the United States for the last 3 years, on the road doing work camping opportunities and sightseeing in between, and currently find ourselves during this COVID time in a place that we could stay for a while. We are in Yuma, Arizona for the winter.
Are you using the BLM land there in Yuma?
No, we're at a campground, a very large campground, probably the biggest one we've ever been, almost 1,300 sites here in Yuma.
Wow.
One of the campgrounds. Yeah, it's big. In fact, we're going to start working here as of the first of the year. We've been touristing, though not a whole lot of going out and seeing things, but we've been sort of sitting and staying away from people and trying to stay healthy. But we're going to start work here in January.
And just as like helping out at the campground, checking
Correct.
People in
Correct.
And cleaning
yeah.
things up. Okay.
Yeah, basically maintenance, cleaning up sites, and preparing sites for people when they come in and those kinds of things. Yeah.
General. Yeah. Super. Super. Yuma's a fun place to be. It's right there at the Mexican border. There's a lot of things to do there. I mean, a lot of people gravitate toward quartzite for some reason. in Arizona, and it just, there's not even a grocery store within 35 miles of there.
Yeah. Well, we were, in fact, I wondered if with everything going on, whether they were going to have the big rally this year, because it's close enough that it's as close as I've ever been. I just want to go just to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard either way. So have you been work camping the entire time you've been on the road?
Off and on. We try to do 3 month stints in the work camping mode, and then travel in between. We've done the longest we've done is 4 or 5 months in Estes Park, Colorado. We've done about the same amount of time at a senior citizens community in Ohio. We've done shorter stints in Colorado and Arkansas, and we were in Florida last winter. So we try to vary our travel so that we get to a place that we stay long enough, and it's in a place where we can sort of venture out on our days off during the work camping experience.
Sure, that's a good strategy. What type of RV do you have?
We have a 40-foot fifth wheel, 6 slides.
Oh, my. That should be big enough to accommodate you.
It is. Yeah. This is our first coach. And when we went shopping, one of the people gave me a bit of advice. They said, buy your second coach first. So when we went looking, we started with the starter one. We thought we could, see what this was like. We had never done anything like this before. We obviously did camping, tent camping, and those kinds of things, but never to this extent. And so when we started looking for a coach, we wanted one that we felt we could live in, and that there was going to be enough room that we would feel comfortable and make it feel like home. And this is definitely it. Yes, sir. We didn't want to do a motorhome. We thought this would give us a little more flexibility. Had to go out and buy the big truck, and all the other things that went with it. But this has worked out very well for us. Yes.
Very good. What attracted you to work camping in the first place?
Well, it is something that we had looked at maybe 20 years ago or so, that we were going to be medical travelers. That was our initial plan. Both Patty and I got out of corporate jobs and went into the medical field for a period of time. I was a surgical tech and she was a nurse, and we thought we would travel with those particular skills. Turned out that neither one of those quite worked out for us. We evaluated it at the time, and it just wasn't what we all thought it was going to be. And so that kind of went by the wayside. And then we bought a bed and breakfast, and that took up about 8 years of our time. And then we moved to Texas where the kids were, and then they left. And that really was a weekend that we looked around, and there was an RV show in Dallas. And we said, well, we should go see what this is all about. And we went down there, and we have a habit of just sort of looking at each other and going, well, we can do this. And we decided that we could do this. So we started our research, and within a couple of months we had made our determination and bought our coach and had it built and put a house on the market and got everything started, our research, and finished our research and moved in and moved on.
So Patty, you were okay with this?
Well, I was just going to say phase two of that was I'm probably the more adventuresome of the two of us. So when we got to Texas, I was supposed to retire from the bed and breakfast. And I made it for about 3 months. And then, as you know, this doesn't work for me. So I went out and got a job, full-time job. And so when we decided to do the RVing, we started reading about the work camping and, getting volunteer jobs to offset the expenses, obviously. But my feeling was that it helped kind of give us a purpose and giving back and not just sitting every day and wondering what you're going to do. You knew you had a schedule, you knew it was, going to be kind of job-like. So it seemed like a good way to kind of blend the touristing and that. So we planned our time. Usually our work camping jobs sort of help plan our travel destinations. we would look and find a job online and say, you know, well, look at that. There's something in Washington for next June. That works. So let's stay here for a couple months and we'll work our way up there. And so it helped us to have a destination and a plan. And so I was really excited about that side of it, probably more than Dan was. But it's worked out really well for us in the long run to kind of do three on, two off, three on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. You look for the job that you think you're going to really like, and then you move to it. It's not like you pick an area and then look for a job. You go specifically for that job.
Yes, correct. Exactly. Yep. And it really has, it's really served our purposes perfectly. When we have the traditional United States map on the side of the coach, and so we have to fill up the states, that type of thing. So we've had a plan of how our destinations would go, East Coast, West Coast, that type. So we just look for the job in the area we think we might like, and who knows what will come up, and then we just plan the trip around that, and it's worked really good for us.
And most of your jobs have been at campgrounds, is that what you said?
Most of them have been. We had the one in the senior, it was a senior community, and we love gardening, and they were just looking for somebody to come in and help plant flowers and things for their residents. And so we worked 3 months, 4 months there, just doing gardening, which is fun. And our next destination will be in Washington, and we're going to work in the lighthouse. So we've been mostly in campgrounds, but we're trying to kind of get away from that and do more, different types of things in the future.
Working in a lighthouse has been my dream job for a long time.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, we'll put a good word in for you when we get there.
Thank you. It sounds like it'd be really neat, not only because I love lighthouses, but I like the ocean, and Washington State is just gorgeous.
Yeah. That's what we thought. All the same things we thought about it.
What do you like most about your experiences so far?
I think the variety, the meeting, the people, the ability to get out and talk. We don't have many social limitations in that respect. We'll talk to just about anybody. Seeing new places. Yeah, I think that's probably a big part of it also.
Yeah, I think I found that when we've hit, say South Dakota, I had no idea what was in South Dakota, or even Ohio. I mean, Illinois was probably one of my favorite states. You get there and you start looking around at things to do, and there's so many things that you just don't know are out there to explore and to appreciate and to discover. So I think that's the part I've liked the most, is taking a new destination and just opening yourself up to explore everything, within 100 miles around you. And there's more than we can even imagine there is out there to find.
Oh, I'd agree with that. In fact, it's the way you're doing it seems perfect to me, by going there and just immersing yourself in that culture and that entire area and looking at the little out of the way places that people recommend. It just really enhances the lifestyle. And you're right, it beats sitting at home.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. It's and we true. Found some of the greatest donuts you've ever wanted to eat.
I don't know if I could do that. I'd probably outweigh the RV.
That's why you have to walk a lot in between.
What are some of the favorite places that you've been?
Well, I would think for us at upstate Michigan. We went up into the UP, and that area just south of the UP in a little area called near Petoskey, Michigan. We're very pretty on the lake. All the state of Michigan was very, very pretty. Yep. I don't think there's anywhere that we have been that we wouldn't want to go back to. Everything has had its own charm and beauty, and they've all been nice places to go to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you like the short-term aspects of the jobs?
We prefer not to do a full season, if that's what you're asking. We've seen the ads that are mostly listed do 6 months. And we have always thought that was a little too long to sit in one place. We are, I won't say old, But we got into this a little older than we now think we would have wanted to. We wish we would have started earlier. And 6 months is half a year, and half a year is a long time when there aren't a whole lot of years left to think that you're going to be traveling. Yeah. So
that's a really good point. I'd never thought of that.
Yeah.
So have you go ahead.
I was going to say, we have friends who do 1 month stints, you know, all over the country. We have friends who do two places every year, and the same two places for the last several years. They just go, you know, winter, summer kind of thing. So
that doesn't
work for us. And this is the longest here in Yuma. This is the longest we've actually sat in one place, I think partly because of the COVID, we didn't want to travel, and partly because it was going to be a warmer winter for us. But it was, this is the longest we've been in one place, and we'll see how we do.
Yeah, that's neat. And when are you heading out to Washington?
We are leaving Arizona in the middle of March. We have family in California, which we're going over then for the end of March, beginning of April. And then April, we're going to work our way up the coast. We have a interim job in May at a lake in Oregon before we go into Washington in June.
Okay. So you really do have stay in very short periods of time. And are you hired primarily to do specific things then? Like you had mentioned the gardening before. So you're going in to do a specific project?
Let's take the lighthouse, for instance, in Washington. We're just going to, they're open all year round. So we're just going to be part of the support team, whether it be at their gift shop or giving tours in the lighthouse itself or cleaning up.
The lady we talked to at the lighthouse told us to be prepared that we would be, some days we'd be walking up to the top of the lighthouse and then back down again. That's like 150 plus steps. So we're trying to get in condition.
And we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So.
Hey, but you can be thankful that you don't have to haul up like these big heavy buckets of oil to keep the lamp lit.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We've gotten past that one. But usually we know what we're going to be doing when we take a job, when we negotiate for the position here in Arizona. In fact, our supervisor just showed up this morning, since we're going to start on the week of the first, and we're going to take our introductory tour of what's going to be required of us later this afternoon. So not quite sure what we're doing here yet either.
Are most of these paid jobs, or are they a mix of paid and volunteer positions?
All of them have been volunteer. Here at this campground, they do pay you, but you pay them right back. It's an interesting concept that they have.
Okay. You know,
it's like they can't pay you, and they still want their. It's a strange thing, but that's okay. But so far, it's been no cost, I guess, if you could put it that way. However, it's worked out. It's either been volunteer or dollar trades.
Okay. And so you're financing this primarily through Social Security, pensions, etc.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I've heard that some people really like the volunteer work just because it gives them that special feeling, and they think they're being treated better by the people that they're working for.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have, I guess it just worked out. The places that we have found have been volunteer. In fact, here in Arizona, in Yuma, we actually have volunteered with a local organization, Helping Hands of Yuma, to do some volunteer work with them while we're here also. So it gives us a chance to do a lot of different things.
Keeps you very active, it sounds like.
Yeah, we try to be.
You know, when you're used to working all your life, as every retired person knows, to just one day say, okay, I'm done working, and what am I going to do? You can start filling your time up with, you know, crafts and playing cards and stuff like that. But, you know, after a while, that got real tiresome to me. So it feels good to keep working because you're using your brain. You're keeping yourself busy and active. You're interacting with people. And, you know, you just seem to feel younger and happier, I think, when you've got something to contribute.
Well, there's a purpose in getting up in the morning. It's just, you know, there's a reason to get up. There's, you know, you're going to be doing something, as opposed to going and not having a plan and just sort of the day kinds of disappears on you. So that it does keep us busy. We're both in our 70s, our early 70s. We want to keep active, and this is one way to do it.
That's great. And volunteering your time to help other people has a good feeling that's associated with that too.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we can give back because we're fortunate enough to be able to give back, we want to be able to do that.
What are some of the perks that you get as volunteer work campers then? I know it's probably includes a free RV site, but are there any others?
Well, in some of the places, we've gotten free laundry, free propane, discounts at stores, tickets to local attractions in certain places.
And T-shirts.
Yes.
Get lots of T-shirts.
All the T-shirts that you can wear and hats, you know. We have quite a collection of those kinds of things. Yes.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
And keychains. And don't forget the keychains.
Do you tend to collect specific souvenirs from the areas you visit, like coffee cups?
No. When we got into the coach, we obviously downsized a lot.
Stickers.
And there's just not a lot of room to pick up a lot of big things.
I started when we first got started collecting postcards of the places we go to, because I'm trying to put together an actual booklet, you know, with things that we do.
Sure.
So I get postcards and I try to get a sticker for the park and some of the areas we're at. So it's, you know, small. I can put it into something and it's not going to take up space where I have to get rid of something else if I'm adding something new to it. You know, the old adage of when you're in an RV, if you buy something new, something inside's got to go so you can replace it. I don't like that too often.
Kind of liberating though, isn't it?
Yes.
To not have to worry about accumulating stuff and where to store everything.
Absolutely.
The best thing ever.
Yeah.
Have you faced any challenges on the road or in any of the jobs that you've had?
We have been, and knock on anything that's wood-like, we have been very fortunate that we have had no issues with our vehicles, and we have had really no issues in the places that we have worked. We've heard stories. We've talked to people who have had stories and experiences that we wouldn't want to have, but we've been very, very fortunate that we haven't run into any problems as yet.
In fact, the very first job we had was up at the Estes Park and RV Park. And that was the first time we stayed the longest. That was a 5-month commitment. But we had two of the best managers that we could have ever, ever hoped for. Plus, we worked with 8 other couples who were also camp hosts for the season. And it was just like a whole family that we had found. And since that time forward, we've been fortunate enough to have always jobs that we had good managers and worked with nice people. But that started us out with probably the best that we could have ever hoped for. And it's just been, you know, nice and fun since then.
Oh, that's really nice. So what's the most important lesson you've learned while RVing or work camping?
Patience. Patience with people, dealing with the public, and campers and new campers, always trying to be understanding of where they're coming from. Just, you know, being ourselves and letting people know that there's always somebody there who can help them or who is interested in what they're issues or problems are, so that they can get things taken care of.
The other thing I think is, as we had our own business for a number of years, so you sort of get that mindset of how to do things that you feel will make it the best that it can be. When we've gone into some of the positions we've had, some of the managers are new or maybe haven't done it for too long or are just kind of different. So to you know, kind of zip your lips and say, you know, that we're just here volunteering. What we think or how we can think it could be done better really isn't as important as we think it might be. You know, you make suggestions and you offer, you know, ideas that, you know, some of the managers are responsive to and others not so much. So the idea that you just go to do your job, help the people, give back, and call it a day when it's done, is where you have to get your mindset. Sometimes that's not always as easy to do when things you think could be done differently.
That's really good advice, considering the fact that you're only working there for a couple of months, right? You're not going to really make any long-lasting changes because you're going to pick up and leave. So
exactly.
A lot less stressful to do it their way.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just better.
Yeah, and you can do almost anything for a couple of months, we found.
Mm-hmm. How many kids do you have?
3 sons and 4 grandchildren.
Oh, how do you maintain relationships with them on the road?
They're kind of living vicariously through us, is what they tell us. When we first started, they were scared to death that we were going to kill ourselves on the road. But now that we're out there and we're doing things, we post through social media. We make sure that we always find time to be at all 3 of their houses, once or twice a year. And we communicate with the grandkids with notes and things and send them special little stuff we find that we think will make it more enjoyable for them to share our experiences. So it really has become a family affair with keeping up with our travels. We send them our itinerary of what we're doing so that they can understand some of the pictures and things that we have in a little more detail. So that's part of the traveling piece of it that I enjoy the most is just kind of creating something that we can share with people. I've tried to get Dan for 3 years to write a blog because Dan is very creative with his words. And so he doesn't quite do that yet. But so I do it this way and hope that it'll serve the same purpose.
Okay.
That's supposed to be a joke.
That's a real family joke, Greg. Actually, you have no idea how hard I am laughing here.
Very good. Do you have any advice for people who are wondering whether they can be work campers? I mean, at 70 years of age, a lot of people are saying, my goodness, that's how I want to retire. Do you have any advice to people who are questioning whether they could even do it?
The advice we give, is do it earlier than we did it. Do it sooner than later. Don't wait for it to happen. We're finding that you can exist on the road. You can live on the road. You can prosper on the road. We have friends who work differently than we do. They work pay jobs and they do well. They do quite well. Economically, they're younger than we. They aren't on, Social Security and those kinds of things as yet, but they're doing very well on the road, and it can be done. We've found that there are more jobs out there than there seem to be people to fill them. There's something for everybody. It's not like there's nothing for me to do. I can't do that. And people with any kind of skill. Handyman skills or office skills or computer skills are in high demand in these kinds of positions, in work camping positions, as much as they are in the quote unquote real world positions. But the biggest piece of advice is for people not to delay, not to put it off, not to say, oh, we're going to do it when we retire. Try it now, try it early. The nice thing about work camping in a lot of these positions is you could do some of these, like you said, short term on an extended vacation to see if you liked it, to try it out, to see if it's something that you would enjoy doing. And I think people find that it's a lot easier to adapt to than they probably think of from looking from the outside.
I'd agree with that assessment. I mean, it's really sad to hear people who are dreaming of work camping. Someday I'm going to retire. Someday I'm going to go travel. And someday never arrives.
That's right.
Most of the RVers I've talked to, their only regret is that they didn't start it early.
Exactly.
What about you, Patty? Any advice from you?
Well, I'm a planner. I like to have things so where I know where we're doing and how we're going, which not everybody is. Some people are a lot more spontaneous, but what worked for us since we had never done this was to do our research, to take the time to understand what is involved. We did a little 2-day
workshop,
that's the word, so that we kind of got a sense of what it was all about. And then we took driving lessons once we bought our RV, had a guide, I I was able to do a what kind of parking? Parallel parking. We took the time to research, to plan, to investigate, to do our due diligence before we jumped in. Then we sat down and talked about, well, what is it that we want, you know, each of us to accomplish with this new career. And so we set the plan ahead of time. It wasn't in set in stone, but we kind of had a sense of what we wanted to accomplish. So once we got on the road, then we were able to, you know, be more flexible and yet still have a point of destination each time we went, and knew kind of what we were looking for before we got on the road and said, now what are we going to do? So to me, due diligence, research, planning are the first step of it in order to make it a more successful venture for us.
As part of that, Patty sent me to the work campers rendezvous in Arkansas for a weekend.
Yeah.
So we could talk to other people who had done this before we decided to jump in to do it. So you
went to rendezvous before you started work camping. That's a great way to do some research.
Yeah. Well, it gave opened our eyes to what was out there and what was available and the kinds of things that we would be running into when we got out there. And we got to talk to people who had done it before, and we got to talk to people who had good experiences and people who gave you advice on how to avoid bad experiences. So I think it was a good introduction for us.
That's excellent. How do you find healthcare on the road? Is it easy?
It's funny we should ask. We are both on Medicare, and that's our insurance carrier. Obviously, it's good throughout the United States. We have been very lucky with our healthcare choices, some from recommendations from people in the camps that we're in for the locals, and some just recommendations from other providers who we're familiar with. But we have found it.
Our annual thing.
That's right. We do our annual check back in Texas. We go back to Texas once a year for our annual checkups. But on the road, we have found providers when we've needed them. And again, knock on anything that's wood-like, we've been very lucky in finding good healthcare when we've needed it.
That's great. Is there anything on your bucket list that you're hoping to accomplish?
We still we want to make sure that we cover all 50 states in our travels. Actually, it'll only be 48 because we won't do Alaska or Hawaii. So I lied. I'm sorry. Within the next year or two, we want to do the East Coast, New England.
Oh, that's a fun. If you love history, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing that's sort of on our really far back bucket list is, as we're out traveling, ultimately, if we decide we want to not be on the road for the full 12 months, we've talked about getting a little piece of land by a lake where we could, you know, pull in and park with the RV, or ultimately build a little manufactured home or something. So it gives us, again, another something to be looking for as we're out on the road. In different states, we always seem to take a little time to look around at what property is there, what lakes are there, and you know, if we ever were to find the perfect place, then, you know, we'd be prepared to know what we want to do with that as well. So that's kind of a long distance type of bucket list.
But there are no plans for coming off the road anytime soon, it doesn't sound like.
Not at the moment, no.
That's
not
excellent.
Until we have to. It's kind of, we always, everybody says, how long are you going to do this? And we always say, till we can't do it anymore. And, you know, there's just, there's so many places we've been to that we really would love to go back to, because we still didn't see everything we wanted to see. So once we get through all the different parts that we haven't done yet, then we look forward to going back and doing others. So we are truly very blessed, Greg, to be enjoying this and not having any issues, knock on wood, and just appreciating you know, what there is out there to enjoy and how much we have to be thankful for.
That's excellent. Well, this has been great, guys. I really appreciate the advice and the stories. It sounds like you're having a wonderful experience. So I wish you the best of luck in 2021.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. And you too as well. Be safe. Stay healthy. And a wonderful 2021 for you as well.
There you go. That was about 30 minutes.
Wow.
Perfect.
So a little, no, it's actually 32 minutes. So
it's
perfect. Wow. So well, good.
We're going to have to cut some of that. So
that's excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate the time. And I don't know for sure when this will air. It'll probably be toward the end of January. Cause I've got a bunch of interviews that have already been recorded, but I'll be preparing a schedule here yet this week and I'll have a better idea. And once it goes live, I'll be sure to send you a list so that you can listen to it yourself and you'll impress the heck out of your grandkids because you'll be on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and Spotify and all this kind of stuff.
Well, there you go. So how did you get into this? How did you get started doing what you are currently doing?
Well, I was the editor of RV Daily Report for many years. I founded that in 2009. I was the former editor-in-chief of RV Trade Digest, and those were technical journals that focused on the business side of the industry. So my readers were RV dealers, manufacturers, suppliers, etc. Very few RV owners. But when I became an RV, started RV Daily Report, I found that a lot of RV owners were finding my website and my daily newsletter to just keep abreast of what was going on in the industry. Uh-huh. And when I shut that down in 2009, I just got burned out. It was a daily newsletter and I just too much work. Yeah. I was full-time in an RV for 3.5 years and I'd moved every 3 to 5 days. Oh, so I really didn't get to see a lot of the area that I was in. And it was just too frantic. And so when I decided to shut that down, Terry Cooper at the National RV Training Academy and Steve Anderson at Work Camper News pulled me aside and said, hey, we want you to come work for us. Would you be willing to do that? And I had started a podcast for RV Daily Report, and they said, we want you to do one for us. And so that's how I got to do what I'm doing. I love it. Yes.
Perfect.
Are you not on the road any longer?
I am not on the road. I had to sell my motorhome when I shut down my business. It was just considered a business asset. And that was sad because everywhere I went to visit the suppliers, they kept saying, hey, you need to put this on your equipment, you know? And so I had an older RV, what was it? 2000 Winnebago. And it was all souped up with all kinds of neat stuff. Yeah. But someday I'll get another one because I miss having a place to stay when I'm traveling. Hotels just, it's hit or miss and finding a good place to go. So someday, who knows?
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you back on the road someday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you again for your time. I really
thank you. Have a wonderful day. Have a great new year.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I really enjoyed Dan and Patty Harrison describing their work camping experiences. I really liked their strategy, wherein staying a few months in one place and then moving on. Because they generally work volunteer positions, they have more flexibilities in their schedule so they don't have to commit to an entire season. The Harrisons can donate their time for a few months and then move on. Most places that hire volunteers are very appreciative of any help they can get. Dan and Patty usually receive a free RV site in return for their labor, which saves them a bunch of money on campground fees and gives them a base from which they can explore an area. I love their attitude that work camping gives them a purpose for getting up in the morning. Like Patty said, people can fill their time with crafts, playing cards, and activities like that. But for the Harrisons, that lifestyle quickly got boring. Work camping allows them to use their brains while keeping busy and active. Plus, they get to interact with a lot of interesting people, and all that activity just makes them feel younger and happier by having something to contribute to the world. I also enjoyed how Patty described her hobby of collecting postcards from the places they've been and assembling them in a book describing their journeys. In the digital age, we all seem to take tons of pictures, but never seem to do anything other than store them in massive digital directories. At least the Harrisons now have a memory book they can flip through or allow others to view and share their experiences. I was especially appreciative of their advice not to wait to embark on a travel journey, You can support yourself on the road even before you start receiving Social Security. I really wish Dan and Patty the best of luck as they wrap up their time in sunny and warm Arizona this winter before heading off to do one of my dream jobs, which is working at a lighthouse in Washington. Dan and Patty did a lot of research on their own before beginning their lives as full-time RVers, but you don't have to do it alone. The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by WorkCamper News, will help you get on the road faster than you ever thought possible. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, plus a lot of other things about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving it in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Today's episode was sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next time, I'll be speaking with a fellow who lives in an RV and makes a great living as a mobile service technician. He'll tell us all about it on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.